Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Annie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And we're joined today by Bryony Gordon. Hello, Bryony.
Hello.
And you're not our only special guest, are you, Bryony?
No, I brought my daughter with me.
Hello, Edie. She's 38. No, she's... She's how old is Edie?
She's 22 months. She'll be two in April. She's currently wearing one of your son's Spider-Man masks as a hat, because she's fashionable like that already.
It's like Ascot in here today.
It really is. So, Bryony, you're joining us today. You're a columnist. I hate saying that word. I end up saying, like, I want to say colonoscopy after that.
What's a colonoscopy?
It's when you get your column removed. That's what I go through every week to create a column.
Yes.
That is what writing a column often feels like.
A columnist. You're an author and mother, and you're a YouTube channel star of One Fat Mother.
Yeah, well, star.
Sorry, I'm not sure. Insulting my guest. This is what she's called herself.
That's what I've called myself, yeah. Why not? I thought it was funny.
I like it.
When you ask people to say, like when you're interviewing people, like we interviewed Annabelle Carmel, and she said, could you please do a kind of link at the end to say, please subscribe to One Fat Mother? And she was like, I just can't call you One Fat Mother. She was like, One Voluptuous Mother. I'm like, but that's not what my YouTube channel is called.
No.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a columnist?
Since almost 10 years now.
And consistently, so does that mean for 10 years, for every week, you've had to come up with an opinion about a thing and write it down?
Almost every week,
Oh, that
yeah.
sounds exhausting.
Yeah, well, it becomes, you do start to think, I'm quite easily, I agree with other people's opinions. I'm quite easily swayed. I go, oh yeah, that's a good opinion. I'll steal that. Yeah. And then I'll present it in a sort of slightly funny, different way. So yes, I've been doing that. And then I do a column for the Sunday Telegraph about being a party girl, and now it's about being a mum.
Now, your columns are very confessional in a way, aren't they? They're very honest, and you speak from the heart.
I sort of vomit stuff out onto
nice.
The page,
yes.
onto the colonoscopy. I write about my life, and it's, I don't, I guess I lack, I don't mind, people are like, oh, you're, like, I've just been writing about depression and stuff, because I had an episode over Christmas, and people are like, you're so brave. I'm like, I'm not really brave, you know, it's just writing about what I was feeling, and I don't know, I think I lack a sort of edit button, or a kind of, or a don't,
I can't
don't
imagine what that's like.
No,
you don't have to say that button. Mm. And my husband, when I met him, he obviously knew about the column, and he just doesn't read it. He refuses to read it.
Yeah, like people have said to us, like, oh, you're so brave doing stand-up and, you know, doing your show where, you know, you do this big finale number to a Bonnie Tyler song in gold lycra cat suits. You know, how do you do it?
That is brave.
Well, see, I don't think it is. I just think it's not having, because bravery is something you have, courage is something you have. We just have a lack of something, and that something is pride.
Yeah.
We have no pride.
Yeah. No shame.
No yeah. shame.
No brave. Shame. Although yeah. I do have a lot of shame about things I've done in the past, but it's too late now.
Yeah.
But I don't have shame about, you know, as I'm writing, I think, no, that's fine, let's write about, you know, I can't think what I've written about that I shouldn't have done.
See, that's good. That's no regrets.
Oh, it's about the time someone snorted cocaine off my breast. Why not? I mean, it's a human thing.
It is.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
So you've interviewed quite a lot of famous people, have you, over the course of your career?
Yeah.
Who have been your favourites or your most memorable interviews?
I interviewed Justin Timberlake.
No way!
I did, yeah. And he was really disappointing.
So I
was flown all the way to Los Angeles, which was giddy with excitement, and it was at the Chateau Marmont.
And there was
a villa where I think John Belushi had killed himself.
Oh, I like that.
Anyway, I walked in and they were like, "Don't." It was just after he'd broken up with Britney Spears, and they were like, "Don't mention the B word. Don't mention the B word." And then they introduced me to him, and they were like, "Justin, this is Britney." Bryony, and like his face.
Bryony Spears.
Anyway, we went and sat down, and like he was facing like the wall, and I was facing the eight people sitting around a table in the corner. And he was like, "I'm really spiritual," and lit a candle. And then he was like, "I'm really spontaneous. Like, why don't we go and finish this interview?" And that, sorry about my accent. And that, sorry, Justin Timberlake, if you're listening,
and the rest of America.
Let's go and do this interview in that tree. And I was like, "Okay, then, yeah." And he was like, "I'm only joking." Justin Timberlake, that was great. Oh, I just interviewed Cheryl Fernandez-Pacini.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I have a picture of her on my phone, me and her.
At least vomiting and c***ing at the same time.
Did you touch her?
I did.
Where?
I tried to get a look at the tattoo
on her bottom.
But she was quite coy. Yeah.
She's like
a tiny little fragile bird.
She's an angel, Bryony.
She's exactly as she comes across.
She's a beautiful angel.
Yeah. She was quite. She swore though. She swore.
Of course she did. She's magic.
She's real.
She do what she likes.
Yeah. The worst thing was at the end of it. She said, "Are you from up north?" And I said, "Oh no, I grew up in West London." She was like, "Oh, you've got this like quite a northern twang," and basically. Because I grew up with this really bland West London accent, I tend to mimic. And I was like, I did the whole interview. Like, it's one thing kind of slightly having a kind of Mancunian twang or whatever, but like the Geordie twang is like, I going, "Wait, hey, man."
Yeah. You came out thinking you're in Biker Grove.
You know, I was like...
I'm glad she's nice though. That makes me feel like my love is justified.
She was nice.
Yeah.
She was really nice.
But you have interviewed someone who we're all very excited about. Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, the most exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sighing tax evasion. Sure he doesn't avoid his tax. Sure he pays. Just the amount of money though that man must be raking in.
He just rolls on his spotty mattress.
Yeah, you think he could afford like better curtains and stuff than those primary colours.
And shoes that fit.
So what was he like? What was Tumble like?
He was Edie, perhaps you should answer what Mr. Tumble was like at this point, because you came with me, didn't you? Edie was as underwhelmed by Mr. Tumble as that sounds.
You're right.
She went off into the corner and did a poo. I asked if there was a Mrs. Tumble.
Yeah.
And a tumbleweed blew through. And the PR was like, "Could you not put that in?" I'm like, "Yes,
really?
No." I mean, obviously, I'm putting that in.
Yeah.
Because there was a thread on Mumsnet once by a woman who purported to be his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, so there was a Mrs. Tumble
saying that he was a kind and considerate lover and he liked big boobs. Can we put that? But I think I'm probably more a Mr. Bloom kind of girl.
Oh, hubba hubba.
It's the Lady Chatterley's lover thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what it's about. But we liked Mr. Tumble. We had a picture with Mr. Tumble, didn't we, Edie? And she wouldn't smile in any of them.
Oh. Oh.
But one day she'll be able to impress her friends and
That's
say,
right.
"I met Justin."
That's right.
Did you call him Justin or did you call him Tumble?
I called him Justin.
Yeah.
He was nice. Mr. Tumble. So Edie was not impressed.
And she did a poo when you were in
She did, yeah. She went off into the corner. She went behind the curtain, as we call it now. You know when children, they go behind the curtain.
Yeah. They find that. Yeah, my kids like doing it in the toy room. They just go up for a little quiet,
We say that for like when my husband goes to Lille, I'm like, Harry's going behind the curtain.
Is there anyone you haven't, obviously, now you've interviewed Cheryl, obviously your life's work is complete, but is there anyone else that you would like to interview?
I'd like to interview the Queen.
Oh.
Or the Duchess of Cambridge.
Not Middleton. Oh, is that Middleton?
Middleton. I'd quite like to get, like, take her on the lash. Obviously not now, not now that she's pregnant, obviously. No. But I'd like to give her a makeover or a make under.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'd like to, you know, I want to know, are you, you must be a scummy mummy too, Kate.
Yes.
Catherine, sorry.
That's who should we get. That's
who should get on next
yes.
week.
Yes, Kate.
Kate Middleton.
Yeah. I reckon.
Yeah, take her down Weatherspoons. Maybe out for a harvester afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Get some nachos. And
I did hope, you know, there was quite a small gap between Edie and George.
Yes.
Yeah, and obviously, like, most other sleep-deprived, deranged women in the country at the time with newborn babies, I actually want, like...
Beg your pardon, that's... Bryony.
That's the noisy bottoms, but
that's the noisy ones, mate. I found myself walking through Hyde Park, Kensington Gardens, one day, going to some, like, baby spa or something, and actually fantasizing that we were friends. And we were like...
Did you rehearse what you would say?
And then I fantasized that the paparazzi got a shot of us together and were like, Catherine's, you know, new mummy friend. Who is she? And this, like, literally, please. She goes on things called
scummy
mummies.
What she thinks of your fantasies.
And then I got better. But then I went back to work. But the great thing was, as a journalist, when... Catherine, whatever we're supposed to call her, announced her pregnancy, I had a day off, they called me up and they said, get in the office now, you've got to write a piece. About what? Like, being pregnant at the same time as Kate. I'm like, what are we going to say? Like, it's like an awful open letter. Dear Catherine, I know how you're feeling right now. But it basically made my career for the next, like, the whole of the way through.
Yeah. And sharing.
And then when she got pregnant again, they were like, are you pregnant, Brian? Yeah. I was like, no.
Well, this is it. To be honest, I only got pregnant with my second one because I heard Cheryl was up the duff.
Yeah.
How disappointing when those rumours turned out not to be true. So you've been doing the writing for a decade now, but now you're moving into video.
That's
the future, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's the past as well. Isn't it? The journalist. And yeah. But you see, yeah, it's YouTube. So what I did was, when I was on maternity leave, basically the Telegraph wanted to kind of get really, like, kind of video pilots and ideas from all the people that kind of worked at the Telegraph. And your socks have come off, Edie. And wanting to prove that I wasn't a Luddite and I still remembered what a computer was, I went in with Edie, because I didn't have any childcare, and sort of turned that into an idea. I remember when I was on my sofa feeding her, and I sort of spent a lot of time Googling things that I hadn't been told in antenatal classes. You know, like, I'd only been told about the birth, really. Mm. And my husband said that's a bit like going on holiday and reading a guidebook that only tells you about the flight.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, what language is everyone speaking? Yeah. I didn't bring any money. Where are we staying? I'm not staying anywhere. And it's like, that was what it was like. Mm. And I found, like, those kind of forums on Mumsnet and NetMums and whatnot, and this, that, and the other, really useful, like, yeah. real advice. And cut a long story short, that's what we decided to do for YouTube. And things like how to, you know, what to pack in your hospital bag. But I hope I do them in a slightly funny, down-to-earth way.
Mm.
Because I think the thing you really lack in those early weeks is humour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It all gets a bit serious and a bit, yeah.
And that was what it was. So it's sort of fun, honest, practical kind of tips. Yeah, go on to youtube.com/channels and search One Fat Mother, and you'll get some kind of slightly odd South Park clips, but then you'll get to the One Fat Mother. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so subscribe, dear listeners.
Subscribe, yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. So what's been the best advice you've received as a mother? What's kind of, is there a particular thing you think, yes, I wish I'd had that in the guidebook, basically. Mm. I wish I'd known that before.
Ooh, that's a really good question. Edie, what was the best advice anyone gave us? Have a drink.
That is very good. They don't feature in What to Expect.
Oh, yeah.
Wine, snacks.
Have a, yeah. Well, certainly, and I say this as one fat mother, like, don't obsess over your baby body and all of that. Like, I'm really glad I haven't done that. No, advice, I think that's the thing, is that actually, it's sort of trust your instincts, which sounds really dull, but, you know, you get all that stuff where they're like, you know, the government are like, if you let your baby sleep in your bed, it's just the end of the world. And like, yeah, maybe if you've been smoking like crystal meth and drinking, and maybe you'll roll on to your newborn baby. But I found like, you know, do you know what I mean? I just think that we can be too frightened of parenthood now. And actually, people have been doing it since year dot. I have a friend called Sam Leith, who is a columnist, and he came and saw me. He has three children. He said, idiots have been having children since year dot, don't worry. And it's true, you know. Yeah. It's like so that's probably the best advice.
Yeah, you're doing all right.
Oh, I can breastfeed now. I have huge breasts.
She does.
And I thought,
the microphone is balanced between them.
And I thought, this is where I come into my own. Like, I'm like a J cup, right? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be the queen of breastfeeding. I'll not just feed my daughter. I'll feed everyone else's children. I'll feed my husband.
You'll just be walking amazing. Into Starbucks, filling up all the lattes.
That's right.
One woman barista.
And then nothing happened. Like we got a breastfeeding expert around, and even she said, I just give him a bottle, him. Just that shows thing. What she knew. Give her a bottle.
And then it turned out you've been trying to breastfeed the cat all the time. That was where you were going wrong.
And the problem was that I was having to... Edie was the first person who ever turned away from my breast screaming, like, in horror. Yeah. Like, I was really shocked by that. Like, usually people are like, oh, yeah.
Usually it's when they wake up the next day.
And then I was having to hold her around my... almost, like, round my back. It was just... I look at a picture and I was like, those were obscene.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but if I don't breastfeed her, she won't get my antibodies. And they were like, she doesn't really need them because you live in a, like, clean flat in central London and not a hut in central Africa. Yeah. So... yeah, so don't beat yourself up about the breastfeeding thing, because I think that can make the early days really, really miserable. Mm. But also, like, you don't look... like, I'm not looking at you two and thinking, one of you was, you know, clearly you were formula fed, and you were... you know, it's like, you know.
I was raised on Yazoo, basically. Strawberry for breakfast, banana for tea. Great. Okay. Well, Helen, do you think we've cracked that nut?
I think we have cracked that nut, Illy.
Excellent.
Thank you.
What have we got coming up next?
Oh, my favourite.
It's like the Today Show.
Book chat.
Book chat. I love book chat.
All right. So you've written a book, Bryony Gordon. Because your Bryony in England is quite a lovely, poshish name, isn't it? Like,
what is it? Oh, God. What are you going to say?
But in Australia, it's not that way.
What is it?
It's a bit like, Bryony! It's like, you know, the mean netballer who smokes fags and, you know, like, Bryony!
That's nice. Let's invite someone on the podcast and then tell them
the name's
shit. Is really common
in
the country where we're from. It's interesting you should say it, actually. I don't know if you know this, Helen, but Helen is actually an old English word for twat.
Well, it is now.
So anyway, back to your book.
Yes,
that's it's my book.
Yeah.
So The Wrong Knickers, it's not about your sort of motherhood era, it's about your 20s, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called The Wrong Knickers, the subtitle is A Decade of Chaos.
So The Wrong Knickers comes from you woke up in someone's house.
Yeah. I met this man and I basically I'd married him in my head before we'd even like gone on a date. And we did go on a date, and I stayed the night, and in the morning he was throwing back some clothes, and he's like, these are pretty knickers, and they like landed in my hand, and I'm like, they are pretty knickers, but they're not mine. I literally, like, people used to go in a like romantic situation or a relationship quandary, they used to think, what would Bryony do? Let's do the opposite. Yeah. So, but the thing I'm saying about that is that I was in a completely different stage in my life, so it really didn't bother me. Like, I do feel a lot of shame about some of the things I did in my 20s, but I haven't written those in the book.
Can you can you tell us one now?
People keep reminding me of things that I did when I was drunk. We were talking about this earlier, Helen. And like, she was like, how easy was it to write the book? And I was like, actually, it was pretty easy because I didn't have to go to like the British Library and research it or anything. I just had to, like, you know, and I didn't have to plot it. And, you know, I feel like a bit of a fraud. And but all I had to do was call people up and go, can you remind me of things I did when I was drunk that I might not remember that were really stupid? And they were like, yeah, sure. How long have you got?
What's the response been like to the book? Because there's real people talked about in the book as well. Have they been all right with it?
Yeah, I mean, my sister got to the chapter where I said I had a threesome and then she stopped. She was like, I don't really need to read about your sex life. And my mum was like, you had a threesome? And then my husband hasn't read it.
Like, oh, right.
He's like, I don't need to read it. I don't need to read about my wife's past sex life. And she's already told me everything because she doesn't have an off switch. And there was a man I had an affair with who had sex with me with Newsnight on in the background.
Oh, was that the one when you went to Manchester?
Yeah. He sent me a text that just said, you write beautifully. I was like, that's very gracious of you. It's nice of you to behave graciously now. It's late. And Chloe, who is my main female friend in it, who of course his real name is not Chloe, she loved it. And that was really what I was worried about. Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of my favourite bits in the book was you say you went to work dressed as a disco ball and I did actually wet my pants.
At the first time I took cocaine.
See, she's laughing.
Ended up. It was a Sunday because obviously that's what you do on a Sunday.
Yep.
I'd gone
Sunday, cocaine day. Archers on the bus, cocaine. Off we go.
I'd gone round to this really the cool girl's house and I thought, I was like, she's supposed to be my friend. Oh, I'm going around for like a lunch party, Sunday roast. And basically her and this gay guy basically snorting lines of coke off.
Off your breasts or?
No, that was later. Someone else.
Empty box of Paxo.
And then I can really smell that Edie's been behind the curtain. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're more attuned. I can't smell it.
And they were like, do you want to try some? I'm like, I'm going to be like Zammo, you know, when you can't push it out. Anyway. So basically, we ended up staying up all night taking cocaine, and then I had to go into work, and I had to borrow the cool girl's clothes, and she gave me like a sequin jumper that didn't quite fit. So I was like, you know, kind of heffalum.
Like that was stretched over the boobs.
But honestly, that's exactly what you'd wear to work on a Monday morning, isn't it?
Monday is sequins day. Tuesday bikini.
Wednesday toga.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, oh my god, everyone knows I've been up all night taking cocaine. And you know, no, they thought it was perfectly, they got to think such behaviour was perfectly normal after a while. But you know, at least I was wearing different clothes. Quite often I spent quite a lot of money on, like, trips to, like, Dorothy Perkins or Topshop or whatever shop happened to be there on the way in from a night out.
Yeah. Tag out.
Just so I looked, you know, so I looked...
different, like, from yesterday.
You know, looked more knackered. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But you've put all that behind you now, or have you? I don't know. Maybe you've just put it under the sofa.
Out of reach. Yeah. No, I have put that behind me. Yeah, I get up at 5 a.m. now as opposed to go to bed at 5 a.m. Mm. And actually, I always tell myself when I'm getting up at, you know, when Edie wakes me up earlier, I think I'd rather be woken up at 5 a.m. than be going to bed.
So you were saying, you know, writing this book was quite easy. Was it a joy? Like, was it nice to actually go back to some of the...
No.
Okay, no. Right. Good.
It sort of felt almost like I was writing about someone else.
Yeah.
I suppose I did quite enjoy writing because I was on maternity leave and it was like something that just kept my brain ticking over more than anything.
Yeah. I've decided to give you a present.
Oh, an A to Z. This is where... Oh, my God, this is so sweet.
That's actually quite sweet.
That is really... I found love. Clapham Common.
So what you've done there is you've annotated the A to Z.
I've annotated the A to Z with Post-its.
This is where I grew up.
Oh, for Bryony, so she can reminisce.
Yes, that's right.
You got that wrong, actually.
No, sorry.
But Clapham. Yeah. Clapham, okay. This is where I grew up. I found love. Awful Breaking Bad flat.
Now, what you don't know, Brian, is that Helen's actually gone round London and stuck a blue plaque to the wall of all of these places.
Oh, look.
A bottle of wine.
Sainsbury's House Shiraz. Plum and dark cherry flavours.
Very nice. I do like a wine that also works as a jam. That's lovely.
Oh, my gosh. This is beautiful. It's a thong.
Yeah.
Really, oh, it's beautiful. Do you know that would work really well with a tan? It's a lovely, to explain to listeners.
It's a tangerine.
It's a tangerine peachy almost.
Yes. It says coral on the label. I think that's optimistic coral on the part of the labeler.
It's a lace coral.
And the label is Primark and it was £1.
Yes.
Nothing but the best for our guests.
But you know what? A 14 to 16, that's very kind of you.
Yeah.
But do you know what I'm going to do? I'm on this sort of like diet at the moment.
Yeah.
More for my mental health than my physical health. But anyway, my aim is going to be to get into these 14, the size 14 to 16.
You are welcome, Bryony Gordon.
I might take it on holiday with me.
And then will you tweet us a picture?
This would be great at Centre Parks, I think. Perfect. Yeah.
It's ideal.
It's very that says Centre Parks.
This is when they have the swinging night.
We're actually going to Mauritius.
Oh.
Do they have a Centre Parks there?
It's a new one. We go to Mauritius in 2.5 weeks.
Oh.
And Edie and I, such a bitch, Edie and I are going business class. And Harry's going economy.
I laugh very loudly.
It's a press trip, obviously. I couldn't afford to ever go business class. But there's one more thing in here.
There's one more thing.
Is it some cocaine?
Yes, it is!
It is! Oh, sorry, I spoiled your joke. Oh. I'm so sorry. If there are any policemen listening, it's not actually cocaine.
I can't, I'm on the diet.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Alright, I'll have a little dab.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I was saying, we should talk about coming from investing over the best confession ever. You're really going to love her, you're really going to laugh a lot.
She's so great,
I really like you, I really like you being really good.
She's the best guest ever.
Book's really good. I'm just going to read it again. Really good, really good book, just read it.
Do you know once? I read stop laughing. Once lived in this flat in Bethnal Green, and the flatmate and I, we once took so much cocaine, we stuck. Sorry, I can't stop laughing. We played Trivial Pursuit for 8 hours. And we got round to like the questions again. It was the Shah of Iran. When we were, you know. So, I think that rings a bell.
Oh.
That's great. Icing sugar.
Yeah, it's actually dip dab, but you know, that's fine.
Oh, sherbet.
Yeah, sherbet.
Oh, love.
I invented a game once called Personal Pursuit, where we got so bored of Trivial Pursuit, we started asking each other questions about each other's personal lives. So you'd be like, Blue, when did Helen lose her virginity? fun. Oh, that's I'm impressed, Thorn. I'm impressed with your gift work.
Thank you.
It's really lovely. I'm touched.
Okay. So your book, The Wrong Knickers, is out now. Is there going to be a sequel?
There's not going to be a sequel. No, they said to me, we don't want the wrong nappies. but I am writing a book, but it's a novel, and it is about mothers.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but it's about, and it's sort of about mothers. Not, you know, becoming a mother doesn't make you a saint.
No,
basically.
Spoiler alert!
Or even a nice person.
Yes.
Is there going to be a film of The Wrong Knickers?
Well, hopefully, yeah. We saw the rights were optioned the other day by a film company, which is exciting. But I probably can't say anything more than that at the moment.
Who would you like to play you in the film, literally, of your life? That's so exciting. You're going to have a film made of your life. That's amazing.
So exciting.
I was thinking sort of like Jennifer Lawrence, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosamund Pike?
Yeah, I'm just a bit old.
She's on age.
Remember, they're on the podcast now.
No, actually, they're
Billy Piper.
Billy Piper, that would be amazing.
You have, you know, beautiful eyes, and so does she.
And that is how they cast.
You have hands.
That is how they cast people. Harvey Weinstein says, yeah, you've got eyes. And that's how Oscars are won.
Yeah, I believe
that's
so.
That's what Eddie Redmayne.
Obviously, you, who were you thinking?
Oh, Penelope Keith. Yeah. That's the dream for me. Yeah. She's my hero. I quite like Sarandon for my middle age.
Oh, yes, you are a bit. You've got a bit of a touch of Sarandon.
I've been told that. But then I've also been told, my husband once told me I look like a white Bill Cosby.
A quite stone person once said to me, you look like Christian Slater.
My mum said to me just the other day, you're looking a bit Llewellyn Bowen. I said, as in Lawrence? She said, yes, it's your hair. You look a bit drunk musketeer. I said, oh, thanks, Mum. Booked a haircut.
My sister, you know those apps that tell you, they take a picture of you, you take a picture of yourself, let's just tell you what celebrity you look like. My sister got... Sorry, Mickey Rourke. In The Wrestler.
Yeah, like really.
Young Mickey Rourke. Even that is a stretch. Oh dear.
Okay.
So what are we doing now, Helen? What's next?
What we've got is a feature on The Wrong Knickers.
Oh, I see what you've done there.
Yeah,
good.
So look, here's a bag.
Ooh.
I've got of Wrong Knickers. Now, ladies, you may even get thrushed just from looking at these. Get your canister out. Now, I thought you can do a lucky dip. Take it in turns.
Oh, okay.
And see.
Should I go first?
I had a joy in Lewisham Shopping Centre.
Oh,
my God, those are gorgeous.
These are like wedding knickers. They're white and they've got a lovely diamante sort of nugget on the front there. That's lovely. Oh,
they look very spendy. They were £3.
And Summers.
Yes.
Only remove this hygiene liner once you're completely satisfied with this product. Wow.
We could try them on.
Oh my God, they're £18 reduced to £3.
That's
a bargain. I'm going to put them on now over my jeans.
Okay, just do that. That would be
I'm
nice.
Glad we've got the curtains open. It's broad daylight. Right, I'll put
Bryony,
these on.
Take a lucky dip in The Wrong Knickers bag.
Oh, they're quite... What size are these?
Oh my gosh. Look at this. Oh my God, I love these ones. These are turquoise with pineapples.
I actually quite like them.
I do, but...
Can I just say something? Does that not look really uncomfortable?
Oh, there's lace in the gusset. Nobody wants that.
No.
The underwear is called No Secrets.
I think that's the theme for the podcast.
If you're wearing pineapple emblazoned underpants in front of someone, you probably have no secrets from them. All right, Helen, is it my turn again?
There's four, so you get two each.
Now this, my God.
A mask. Is that like a flu mask?
This looks like it's made out of shoelaces and sadness. So it's at the front, it's like a red panel at the front.
Yes.
And then the back is just like
just
a shoelace,
string.
Literally like a shoelace. And then the gusset is split open.
Yes, it's an open gusset.
Oh, yours got
easy
entry.
Presumably these are for if you're going into labour, aren't they? You can just the baby's head.
No, they are. You can get them on the NTT website. I think.
I'm sure you can get them on all sorts of websites.
Mothercare.
Wow. Oh, that's thanks, Helen. Well, again, no room for the safety label there, for the health hygiene label.
No,
just fall through the hole.
No, that's it. Good for when you've got your period and you can just pop the tampon.
Very handy.
Put tampon just straight through.
Very handy. Yes. Right, I can't wait to see our final pair, Bryony.
There we go. There you go, Bryony.
Oh, gosh.
One more dip.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And the lace with a little bit of animal print.
I've never seen animal print lace before, Helen. That's so unusual.
Isn't it?
So exotic and yet elegant.
Yeah, quite a delicate lace I've seen too. There's no cotton in this.
No. It's totally flammable.
One fart and it would disappear.
That's what I look for in my underwear. I cannot bear if anything in it is biodegradable. It must all be man-made and going to stay on the planet for eternity.
Something you can pass down through the generations. Granny's knickers.
Oh, it's like Christmas, Brian. Christmas Day.
The effort and time we have put into
this. I haven't actually bought out any new makeup, so I'm going to like this.
Is that enough knicker chat, Helen?
I think so. I think we've cracked that nut, literally.
We have. Oh, well, then we've almost come to the end of the episode. So it's time, of course, for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Yay!
Hooray! Helen, do you want to kick us off today?
Yes, all right. So my Scummy Mummy Confession is that I was running late to drop Hugo at nursery. He'd taken a big bit of jam on toast, so he had like a little jam smile.
Like the Joker, right.
But I just like, I've got to run and do something. I'll just dump him at nursery, thinking, they'll wipe his face. And then I came back 3 hours later and they said, we're really sorry, but I think Hugo's had a scratch. We don't know how it happened. He said nothing happened, but he's got these pink marks on his face. And I was like, that's jab. Sorry, Hugo. Yes, so that was quite gross.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, lovely.
Well, we've got a listener confession, haven't we? Should I read this one out?
Yes, from the lovely Sarah Waygood. Hello, Sarah Waygood.
Hello, Sarah Waygood. Now, Sarah says, I was off work on Thursday and had a work do that night, so I booked a lovely lady called Sam to come round and do my nails. I was getting ready to drop...
You were doing them yourself. Sorry, Sarah.
Anyway, I was getting ready to drop the kids off at nursery when Emma, age 3, announced she needed the loo and ran upstairs. A few moments later, I heard the dreaded news, Mummy, I done a poo and there's a little bit in my knickers. Jake, age 1, was busy throwing soggy cereal around and I told her to leave the knickers on the bathroom floor for now and come downstairs. I cleaned her up, put on clean knickers and off we went to nursery. Sam came round, did my nails and used the loo where before she went. You can see where this is going.
Yes.
It wasn't until I used the bathroom myself that I remembered the poo incident. And there, directly in the way of the loo, were Emma's little knickers and a hefty portion of toddler poo.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Poor Sam. She said nothing, but I'm not sure she will want to come to my house again.
You don't need Sam, Sarah. You don't need Sam.
No.
No one's looking at your nails, love.
No.
That's what people always say to me.
Oh. So my Scummy Mummy confession is that Charlie, who's 3.5 now, Pete was getting ready for nursery and he was being a bit of a pain, right? And Pete said, oh, for God's sake, Charlie, just get your ass over here. And I went, stop swearing, don't swear. And Charlie went, well, Daddy, the problem is my ass isn't listening to you. So there we are. Not only has my son learned the word arse, he now thinks of it as like a separate like being that has a personality. That's nice. Yeah. Bryony, do you have a confession for us?
When Edie was very, very little and I was trying to get out of the house and I had to change her nappy and I'd run out, you know when you get to the end of the baby wipes and you're like, what am I going to do? And I was in a sort of situation where I didn't know, it was all over my hand, like it was a bit on my hands, and it was going to go everywhere. So I licked it off my thumb.
Caca in the mouth.
And it was really good. Someone who has chronic obsessive compulsive disorder, it was really good exposure therapy for me. Mm. But also, it was like she was like 5 weeks old. It was like, you know.
It's like it was that,
or it was all over my fresh. I can't remember why it was that I couldn't get.
No,
it was like on my, you know.
But like, did you consciously think I'm going to do this, or was it just an automatic?
I did consciously think because I thought, Harry, my husband, will be really proud of me. That I haven't got, because I get
that's what every man looks for in life.
I get really about obsessive compulsive disorder, and like he was really worried that it would get worse when I had a baby, but actually, you know, it was like I was like screw germs.
Well done, you, and thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
that's a true confession.
That
I like
is.
It.
That is absolutely.
I had to think hard about something I hadn't already kind of shared.
Well, that's a wonderful confession to end on. I think that's about it, Helen. Yeah.
I think we've covered so many topics today.
Oh, so really, much.
Oh, and
so
Ellie much. Sitting in a pair of lacy white knickers at the end of it.
It's the diamante that really sets it off, isn't it?
Yeah, all the natural fun.
I wish I'd had those on my wedding night.
Yes. Instead it might have been annulled if I had these on my wedding night, to be quite honest. So thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please tell your friends, give us an iTunes review, and if you've got a confession to share, it's scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
That's right, and we're on @scummymummies on the Twitter, and we're on Facebook as well.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and Bryony, your YouTube channel is...
It's One Fat Mother, so you go to youtube.com/channels and search for One Fat Mother.
And we have a little bit of exciting live show news, don't we, Helen?
Yeah, we're back on the stage. We will be performing on election night, which is, Ellie,
Thursday the 7th of May.
That's right.
At the Ivy House in Nunhead. It's an election comedy night. My dad's running it, hilariously. So if you've listened to the Vicar and the Comedian episode with our dads on, you can hear that man doing stand-up comedy. Imagine.
Oh, live. That's right.
Yeah. So if you want tickets, we'll put something on the website. But if you go to We Got Tickets and search for Election Comedy Night, Ivy House,
there probably aren't that many of them. In many ways, I suspect that the whole night is going to be one long comedy of errors.
Possibly the next 5 years will be. Let's see.
I'm really excited.
Well, thank you, Bryony, for being a fantastic guest.
Well, thank you for having me. I've had such a lovely time.
Oh, good.
A really fun time.
Thank you, Edie, for being a lovely, providing the ambiance today.
Yeah.
She's falling asleep.
Yeah. Until next time.
Bye-bye. I was thinking about you, and in the lead up to this, and I thought, you know, you've got a book, you've got a column, you're married, you've got a kid, but you don't have a theme song.
Oh no.
I don't.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
No.
Can I do it?
I do, because do I have a choice?
No.
Does Bryony have a choice?
No, she doesn't. I've written a song.
Of course you have.
Oh, okay.
Edie, look.
Bryony Gordon has a going telegraph column and also has written a fabulous book.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Bryony Gordon has her own YouTube channel about being a fat mother.
Oh my god, that doesn't even scan. It's Eleanor Rigby. She's gone, Brian. I just called you Brian. That's almost worse. What she's done, Brian?
I couldn't quite get the tune, and now I feel stupid. That it's obvious now. It's Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah. So she's gone, Eleanor Rigby. That's got five syllables. Bryony Gordon. That's got five syllables. Therefore, that's a good idea musically.
Is there another verse?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Ready? Come on, the finale.
Right. No, this is quite beautiful.
Is it? Let's find out.
I feel so.
All her thoughts and feelings are found in her column. All her thoughts and feelings are found in her column.
With apologies to Messrs. Lennon and McCartney, ladies and gentlemen, Helen Thorne. Ludicrous.
Oh, look, people across the world are going to be singing Bryony Gordon.
No, they're not. So.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.